usually in my preaching, even on Sunday morning, I try to have a balance. It's not so much me as the Lord. I've just noticed over the years that He's tried to have a balance in my preaching. And I know on Sunday night, those of you that come on Sunday night, most of the time on Sunday night, I speak to Christians about things in the Christian life and how we should live our Christian life. And I try, at the Lord's leadership, to mix some of that in on Sunday morning, because I know many of you can't come back on Sunday night. And so every now and then I try to mix a message in about the Christian life on Sunday morning. And I know the last 3 weeks I haven't done that. The last 3 weeks we've been in the book of Luke. We've talked about the prodigal son. We've talked, all three of those messages were salvation messages, but they were also messages to Christians to remind all of us what kind of Savior that we have. Now, I say that, and you might think, well, he must be going to preach a message to Christians this morning. No, I'm not. I'm going to say, for the fourth Sunday in a row, I want to remind you how good a Savior you have. For the fourth Sunday in a row, I want to remind you what Jesus did for us when he died on Calvary and what he does for us now in heaven. This morning, I'm going to preach a message entitled, My High Priest. And I'm going to focus on our high priest, my high priest, and your high priest. And I'll tell you what, whenever I approach a subject like this, I always feel like a kindergartner trying to explain the Gettysburg Address, or a grade schooler trying to explain Einstein's math. I know I'm just skimming the surface of it. I know I'm just sort of painting a little bit of a picture, and we can only see part of the picture. Paul says, I look through a glass dimly now, but when we get to heaven, that dimness is going to be taken away. Fanny Crosby wrote that song, Face to Face with Christ My Savior. And we think we understand now the glory of Jesus and the glory of his salvation. But I tell you what, we've just seen one little drop of water compared to all the oceans in the world. We've just seen one little bit, like Brother Leonard was talking about, that little boy coming home and telling Mom and Dad, I love you this much. Well, we've only seen that much of it. It's so much richer than we can even imagine. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard what God has prepared for the people that love him and what God has done for the people that love him. And so this morning, I want to talk about our high priest. I want to talk about what our high priest does for us. I'm going to need some help because I want to illustrate this. So, Roy, I wonder if you would come up and help me. I always pick the people who I think might go to sleep. So, Roy, I want you to come up and help me. No, I'm just kidding. I've never saw Roy snooze any. And Harry, would you come up and help me? Would you mind just come up and you stand over here on this side for me, if you would, up here with us. I'm going to let Roy represent us, all mankind, and I'm going to let Harry represent God. And this morning, I want to talk about what our high priest does for us. We read in Hebrews chapter 5 that God called the high priest back in the Old Testament days. Aaron didn't pick himself to be a high priest. God picked him to be a high priest. And Jesus himself, as we read about there in verse number 5, says, so also Christ glorified him not himself to be made a high priest, but God chose Jesus to be our high priest. And we can go back to the book of Exodus and we can read all the different things that the high priest did for the people. The high priest was the go-between between God and man. Man, we know, was back then, just like he is today, we're sinners. And the high priest went between man and God and did some things between man and between God. And this morning, you just can't get it all with that title, high priest. This morning, I want to show you from the Bible four other titles that the high priest has, and four things, four roles, four purposes, however you want to say it, that the high priest plays in our life. Four titles, four roles to help us understand what the high priest does for us today. The first one is he's our daysman. He's our daysman. In Job chapter 9, verse 33, Job said this, "Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both." Now, I want to remind you what was going on in Job's life when he wrote that little verse, when he said that little saying. He had just, the bodies of his children are fresh in their graves. He has lost all his wealth, all his animals, everything that he had that this world calls valuable, he had lost. His wife had said, "Why don't you just curse God and die? God's taken away everything that you have. Just turn your back on God, curse him, and just go ahead and die." Job used to be the most prominent and influential man in town. Now he was out in the garbage heap to get comfort from the heap. His body was covered with a type of leprosy. He had broken pottery that he was using to scrape his sores. And he said that's where he was when he penned this little verse, when he wrote this, when he said this little thing that's recorded in the Bible. He said, "Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that can lay his hands on both of us." And what Job was saying is, "I don't understand what God is doing in my life. I just don't understand why this tragedy has come into my life. I don't understand why he's killed, let my children die. I don't understand why he's let all my wealth evaporate. I don't understand what God is doing in my life. And I wish there was somebody that could that understood me. And I wish there was somebody that understood God that could put his hand on me and put his hand on God, and he could have his hand on both of us." Now, I want to tell you, Jesus, as our high priest, understands what it is to be a man. He came and lived among us for 33 years. He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And so he walked among us, and he understands everything that happens in our lives. He understands all the temptations. He understands all the fears and the heartaches that we have. But I would hasten to say that Jesus is also, he also understands God. In John chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And that Word is Jesus. Nothing was made without him. Everything that was made by him. He was there with God. In the book of Philippians, it talks about, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." And so he was God, but he made himself of no reputation and became a man. And as our high priest, Jesus puts his hand on us and he puts his hand on God and he says, "I understand both of you. I understand, God, what you want. I understand, man, what you need." I remember the first time I had to go to Japan in my other job. I was going to be independent. I was traveling with some other people. We had Japanese people with us. But I can remember I said the first two or three restaurants we went into, I said, I just want to order myself. I don't want anybody to help me. I just want to order myself. And so they bring me the menu. And, of course, it was all in Japanese. And I'd look at it. I couldn't figure out a thing on it. I said, "That's what I want right there." I remember the first four meals I ate, I had the same thing. And what I needed was somebody that understood English and understood Japanese and could bring the two together. That's what we need in our high priest. I don't want a high priest that doesn't know what's going on in my life. I mean, it's wonderful that we have a high priest that knows God. But I'll tell you what, I'm glad we have a high priest that knows us. I'm glad we have a high priest that doesn't deal with what's going on in our life from a conceptual basis. I'm glad we have a high priest that's walked in our shoes. I'm glad we have a high priest that knows what goes on in each of our lives. And I'll be honest with you, when that verse says he was tempted in all points like as we, I don't understand how it could be. I don't understand how in 33 and some years, Jesus could undergo everything that every single one of us undergo. I don't know. but I believe the Bible. I believe somehow in those 33 years, God let him experience everything that every person that ever lived experienced. And so, as our high priest, he's our daysman. He knows the trials and the tribulations that we have in our life. He knows our hopes and dreams. He knows, I tell you what, he knows everything that's going on in your life today. And he can take one hand and put it on you, and he can take another hand and put it on God. And he can say truthfully, because he's been there, I understand man. I understand God. He's our daysman. There's a second term that I want to present to you this morning. Being a daysman is not enough. He's also our mediator. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." Now, a mediator is a little bit different than a daysman. A mediator needs to be a daysman. A mediator needs to understand man. And the mediator needs to understand God. But a mediator goes a step further. A mediator says, there's something between man and God. That something between man and God is sin. And that sin estranges or separates God from man. A mediator says, I'm going to find a plan to get man and God back together. They're at war. The Bible says they're at enmity. We're at enmity with God because of our sin. And a mediator says, I'm going to find a way to get man, who I understand, back with God, who I understand, so that thing that is between them no longer separates them. That's what a mediator does. Remember, the best example I can point to, and I think everybody in the room was old enough to remember. Remember Henry Kissinger? Remember, I can't remember. I think he served for Reagan. I think he may have served for another president. I can't remember exactly. But he was a good mediator. He would have what they called shuttle diplomacy. He would go in the Middle East. He would go and talk to the Jews, and he would get to know the Jews. He would go talk to the Arabs and get to know the Arabs. And he tried to work out a plan where they could have peace. Well, I want to remind you this morning that our Savior is a mediator. Our sin separated us from God. Here you have a righteous, holy God. A God who, when Jesus hung on the cross, had to turn his back on his only begotten Son because of the sin that was laid on him. And so you have the righteous demands of God. Sin has to be paid for. The wages of sin is death. Now here you have man as a sinner. Roy does a good job representing us all, does he? No, I'm just teasing. We're all sinners. Every single one of us. I mean, there's not one person that's righteous, the Bible says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we owe a debt. We owe a debt for that sin, and that debt is debt. Say that fast three times. That debt is death. That's what we owe. So here's our high priest. Here's Jesus. Here I have God that demands payment in his righteousness. He demands payment for that sin. Here's man. He's a sinner. There's nothing he can pay. I mean, there's nothing that man can offer to God to meet the righteous demands of this God. So here's Jesus. He says, I've got a plan. I'll take all of man's sins and I'll put them on myself. I'll come and live among them. I'll face every temptation that they face. I'll face every trial that they face. And for 33 and a little bit, I'll live among men. And then I'll prove that a person can live without sin. No person can other than Christ. No person can other than Christ. Don't think you can get right with a righteous God by living a holy, perfect life. The Bible says all our righteousnesses, all the goodness that we have to offer to God in His sight are as filthy rags. You can't do it. How many sins make a sinner? One. If we've offended in one point, we're guilty of breaking the whole law. And there's no man that's ever lived that can keep even the Ten Commandments completely. And so here's man. In our sin, we have nothing that we can offer for our sin. Jesus says, I got a plan. And it was God's plan. He says, I'll take all of your sins. I'll put them upon myself. I'll go to Calvary's tree. I'll die for those sins. I'll shed my blood. My body will be broken. I will die on Calvary to pay for your sins. And he goes to God and he says, God, is that plan good enough for you? And God said, yes, it is. He has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then Jesus goes to man and says, it's okay with God. Is it okay with you? And the moment we as man say, yes, it is, it's okay with me, then the mediator has done his job. He not only understands what's going on in both of our lives, but he had broken down that middle wall of partition that the Bible talks about. He's broken down that sin that has separated man and God. He's our mediator. But there's something else. Number three, he's our advocate. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The daysman reaches out and grabs hold of both of us. He understands us both. A mediator breaks down the thing that separates us from one another, sin. As an advocate, that's a legal term. It means that he's my attorney. He's my lawyer. He sits on my side of the courtroom and pleads my case. Get the picture. Here's God, the righteous judge. Here's man, the sinner. Now, the accuser, the prosecutor, I won't mention your name, his name, but you know who he is. He's sneaky. He's the father of all lies. Some people picture him with a red suit. Satan don't wear a red suit. He wears a suit like this. He looks very convincing. He's the prosecutor. And so he comes to the judge and says, Judge, I want to lay out the case before you about this old sinner. He is a sinner. And I don't have time this morning to go into all the detail. But he's a sinner. And he deserves your righteous judgment for his sin. And I want you to know something. Satan, right now, is in heaven, just like he did to Job, making accusations to the Father about us. In fact, in Revelation, when there's going to be a celebration, it's talked about in the book of Revelation when Satan is finally cast out of heaven and has no more access to the Father. And it says, the accuser of the brethren, which stood before God day and night, accusing us of our sins, can no longer do that because he's been cast out of heaven. Well, here's what my advocate does. What Roy's advocate does. Here's Satan. He makes all these accusations. Here's our advocate. Here's our lawyer who comes to the Father. Boy, I like a lawyer that can call the judge Father, don't you? Huh? Boy, I tell you what. I like that, Father. Huh? When old Satan's down here, you know what Roy did yesterday? You won't believe what he did yesterday. Here's our advocate saying, I know he did that. But when I died on Calvary, that was under the blood. And you know what the judge says? Sustained. You know what it means to say sustained? Hey, Satan, I ain't going to listen to that. I ain't going to listen to that. In fact, when Satan presents all his evidence and our advocate gets through reminding the Father time after time after time after time, it's under the blood. The Father brings down the gavel in the courtroom and he doesn't say forgiven. He doesn't say pardoned. What he says is innocent. Innocent. How can God, the righteous judge who knows everything, find Roy, who's the chiefest of sinners, like Paul says, innocent? Because it says in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith. Look, I'm not forgiven in the courtroom of heaven. I'm not forgiven. I'm not pardoned. I'm innocent. I stand before God just as if I've never sinned. Because when God looks at me, he doesn't see my sin. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more thing, and I got to hurry. I've been found innocent But I want to tell you what, I'm glad Bill's not here because he talks to me about every time I say this. I'm innocent, but you know what? I'm still a sinner. I'm still a sinner. As I mentioned a moment ago, Satan stands before God today, and I tell you what, Brother Leonard was, I think it was Brother Leonard was talking about in Sunday school this morning. So we got somebody that keeps an eye on us all the time. God does that. But you know what? Satan does too. Now, he's not as powerful as God. He has to have help. But I tell you what, he's got somebody that watches me, and he's got somebody that watches you. And you know what those demons do? They go tell. They go tell. Anything I dislike is a tattletale. When I was growing up, I hated people that told on me. One of the reasons my younger brother and I didn't get along too good when we were growing up, because he'd always tell. We'd be sitting at dinner, just out of the blue, he'd say, "Mom, do you know what Daryl did today?" That's why I never took him anywhere. He always told. Yeah, wait till later. That's right. Well, that's what Satan does. One more thing our high priest is. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." You see, I'm a Christian. I've been saved. But I'm still a sinner. I still mess up. Satan has people watching me, and he's a tattletale. He comes to God. He says, "You know what Daryl did yesterday? I was pretty good yesterday, Harry. I didn't do much of anything yesterday." But here's what our high priest does. He's our intercessor. He comes to God and says, "I know we messed up yesterday, but that's under the blood too." Amen? It's under the blood. And it says, he ever liveth. He ever liveth. You know, back in the Bible days, the high priest would eventually die and somebody would have to take over. You'd have to get to know that high priest, starting from scratch. I'm glad I got the same high priest that I had when I got saved a long time ago. I'm glad I got the same high priest that Brother Clint's had all his Christian life. I'm glad I have the same high priest that Brother Reg has had all his Christian life. I'm glad I got the same high priest that Bob has and has had all his Christian life. I got a high priest that will never, ever die. And he's my intercessor in heaven. Thank you, guys. Go back and take your seat. I'm almost done. Let me ask you this morning, do you have that same high priest? The only way he's your high priest is if he's your Savior. Brother Wendell sang about it this morning. We sang about it in the songs that we sang. See, your high priest, he wants to be. He can be. But he's got to be your mediator. He's got to be all four. He's got to put a hand on you and a hand on God and say, "I understand both of you." He's got to be your mediator and says, "Hey, I know what you need and I know what you need, God. I can provide what both of you need." God says, "That's fine with me." What you need to say is, "That's fine with me as well. I'm a sinner. I know there's a penalty for that sin. And I believe that when Jesus died on Calvary, he paid the penalty. And I receive him. I take him. I make him my own." And if you'll do that this morning, you'll have this high priest. He'll be your daysman. He'll be your mediator. He'll be your advocate. He will be your intercessor. And this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, as Brother Wendell said, why would you walk out this door without him? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. Why would you leave this place this morning not knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior when he's made it so simple? All you have to do is believe him. All you have to do is receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And so, I don't know, I know a lot of people here this morning, but there are some people I don't know very well. And I don't know if you've ever received Jesus Christ as your Savior. I would just beg with you this morning, please don't walk out the doors without doing that. And then to the many that are here this morning that are already Christians, I would just ask you to walk out this place this morning saying, boy, what a good, wonderful Savior we have. He not only saved me, and that may have been years and years ago, but every day he's my advocate, he's my intercessor. Every day. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the wonderful truth that's in this book. Thank you for what you do for us as our Jesus, as our high priest. And I pray this morning, if there's just one or two people here that have never received Jesus Christ, today the Holy Spirit would have worked in their lives, and today they would make that decision to receive him. Man, woman, teenager, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to them right now. Help them see their need for Jesus. Help them see that he is the only way to God. And help them make that decision this morning to receive him. And then, Father, I pray for us that are here this morning that are Christians. I pray you'll help us never get tired of hearing the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I pray we'll never get tired of hearing what he does for us. I pray that we would leave this place this morning rejoicing, saying what a wonderful, wonderful Savior we have. Father, please bless the invitation. Please help people to be obedient to the Holy Spirit's leadership. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.